Thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your life will be touched by the Spirit of Almighty God with constant and powerful truths that can be applied to your everyday life.
Welcome to church, everybody. God gave me a message that is important, and I think that I am standing before you today saying that it's important in my life because it has worked in my life. So with that being said, let's get started. For those of you who don't know who I am, my name is Melanie Bertolio, and I am the wife of that hunk of love down there on the second row, Rick, and I'm the mother of Shelby and Ben and Drew. I'm the daughter of Denny and Gloria Cook. They don't go to church here. They're in church at their church this morning, but a lot of you know who they are, and I'm a friend to a lot of people, most of whom are in this room right now. I'm a worship leader. I'm typically up here leading worship, but because I'm speaking today, I wasn't up there today, but I'm a worship leader. I'm one of the pastors on staff here at CMC. I help lead the CM Women. I'm the principal of Christian Ministries Academy, and I'm a teacher. And I'm a whole lot of other things too. Because I have a lot of roles in my life that I play, as do all of you. I'm not any different than any of you. We've all got a laundry list of roles that we play in our daily lives. And, you know, we can lament over that, or we can embrace it and just go at it full force. And that's what I hope that we would attempt to do on the daily. But I want to talk today specifically about my role as a teacher. The first thing that a teacher needs are some students. And I have the privilege of overseeing somewhere between 40 and 50 students each year at CMA. And as a teacher, my students have some different qualities about them. They have different abilities. They have different intellect. They have different personality types, gifts. They have very different work ethics. They have different attitudes. They have different experiences. And some of them have a host of wonderful experiences, and some of them have a host of really bad experiences in life. They have different economic status, and they have different social skills. And there's, again, that list could go on and on. But there's two things that my students all have in common. Two things. The first one is this. In my class, they all get assignments. Every single one of them. And there are no exceptions to that. There's no free passes. I'm an English teacher. So there's no, well, I'm not a good writer. So, okay, well, I'll exempt you from the writing. No, everybody gets the assignments. That it doesn't matter if you're great at writing. It doesn't matter if you're wonderful at grammar. It doesn't matter if you love to read. What matters is that you're in my class, so you get the assignment. Every student gets the assignment, and the expectations are exactly the same from every student. And you may go, well, that doesn't seem fair. But it is. And here's why. I don't expect the same quality of work from every student. I know that the outcomes of the assignments will all be different, but what I do expect is that every single kid will do two things. They will do the assignment, and they'll do it to the very best of their ability. So when I say that my expectation is the same for every kid, that's it. Do the assignment and do it to the best of your ability. Doesn't seem too hard, does it? The outcomes are not the same, but expectations will never change. A kid who comes in and gives 100% of their effort, and they do it thoroughly and completely, they can still get a C. I mean, because that may be their best. But you know what? I'm satisfied with their best. If they've given me their best, I'm satisfied with that. The outcome will never be the same. The second thing that all of my students have in common, though, is this. And some of you parents, you may take issue with this, and I'm prepared for it. But all of my students are just ordinary people. Now, I know there's a few real little cute ones that look extraordinary, and I agree with you in that regard, but really they're just all ordinary people. I mean, we take great pride in our kids, but the truth is we're all just, everyone in this room, we're just ordinary people, and that's okay. And every time I ever attempt to say anything like that, I get someone who comes up to me later and they're like, "You're not an ordinary person. You're a child of the Most High God. You're a princess." I get all that. But at the same time, I'm an ordinary person, and that is okay. And here's why I know it's okay. Because in the book of Isaiah, in chapter 53, verse 2, it says this this is prophesied about Jesus. It says, "There was nothing beautiful or majestic about his appearance. There was nothing to attract us to him." That's Jesus. So when I say to you, I'm an ordinary person, I'm not, you know, discrediting God's magnificent creature that stands before you. I'm just saying, even Jesus was said to be ordinary in appearance, and that there was nothing specifically that was just unique that would draw people to him. In the easy to read version of the Bible, it puts it this way. It says, "There was nothing special or impressive about the way he looked, nothing we could see that would cause us to like him. People made fun of him, and even his friends left him. He was a man who suffered a lot of pain and sickness, and we treated him like someone of no importance." So we think about Jesus and we think, he must have been extraordinary. But it's telling us that there was nothing to draw us to him, that people made fun of him, and that we treated him like he had no importance at all. That was Jesus. We tend to put him in some higher class of humanity, but he wasn't. He was an ordinary person. If you Google the definition of ordinary, it says this. It says, "Had no special or distinctive features." And then it goes on to say, someone who's just normal. Someone who's just normal. So when my kids, and my students walk into my classroom for the first time, I'm just expecting ordinary people. I don't know what their abilities are. I don't know whether they're willing to work hard or not. I don't know their reading level. I don't know if they got any sleep last night. I don't know if they have parental support in what they do. I don't know if they like homework or hate it. I don't know anything except this. They're just a bunch of ordinary students walking in the door. I have two expectations. I'm going to give them an assignment, and I want them to do it completely to the best of their ability. You don't have to have some special class of student or intellect to complete that assignment. You just have to show up. You just have to accept the assignment, and you just have to do the best you can. That's what I want. And I believe that that statement sums up a lot of people in my own life that I look back at and I look up to, because there's just nothing real extraordinary about them. They just literally showed up, they accepted the assignment that was given to them, and they just did the best they could. And I hope one day that's what people will say about me, because the truth of the matter is, I've done a lot of things in my life that I wasn't the best choice for that job, but I was the one that got asked. And so I did it. Too many Christian people today are spending so much time just trying to discover what their gift is, what the call on their life is, that they miss daily assignments that are right in front of them. And I've witnessed it for decades now. People who just miss it, and they talk regularly about, I'm just not sure what God's calling me to. I just don't know. And over and over and over again, they sit in this audience where we say, we need VBS workers. And it never dawns on them, ooh, that's an assignment that I could get on board with. We get it backwards, and we're looking for God to give us an Abraham assignment. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, it says, "The Lord had said to Abram, 'Leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you or treat you with contempt, and all the families on the earth will be blessed through you.' So Abram departed as the Lord had instructed, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he left Haran." Here's the deal. We want those kinds of assignments. Lord, just give me the assignment. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make you famous. We're looking for that kind of stuff. And if it doesn't fall into that category, we don't consider it to be valid or important. But the truth of the matter is, we're all looking for Abraham or for Genesis 12 assignments, but we're not looking for Genesis 22 assignments. And in Genesis 22, verse 2, this also is said to Abram: "Take your son, your only son, yes, Isaac, whom you love so much, and go to the land of Moriah. Go and sacrifice him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I will show you." I don't want that assignment. I don't want that assignment, but we live in a culture that is pushing everyone to believe that if there isn't something extraordinary about yourself, that you're not special. That couldn't be farther from the truth. And there's a demographic of people in the world that now believe if they don't get famous, their lives have been completely insignificant. And again, that couldn't be further from the truth. Jesus Christ and the cross make you significant. Jesus Christ and the cross make you significant. No amount of attention or praise or follows or likes will ever change that. You are significant because Jesus Christ and the cross make you significant. See, when I'm standing here in front of you right now, it doesn't make me significant. When I lead worship, it doesn't make me significant. Being the person who gets up here and does announcements, working at the information center, working in the parking lot, those things don't make any of us significant. Whether I feel it or I don't, whether people love me or hate me, none of that factors in to my significance and value to God. Why? Because Jesus Christ and the cross make me significant. But we're looking for something greater and grander. And we think that it's a call from God. But it's not. Not if the goal is greater and grander. Whatever you do, in whatever capacity you do it, you are significant. And you are ordinary all at the same time. In Luke 12, the second half of verse 48, it says, "Everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more." Here's what I can tell you. If you want one of those grand calls, you better be prepared to make some grand sacrifice. I want to give you three reality checks regarding our significance and our gifts and our calls in life. Number one reality check is this: Jesus came as a normal, ordinary man, and you are nothing more than an ordinary or normal man or woman yourself. Number two, God has always used the ordinary to accomplish the extraordinary. Gideon, Ruth, Rahab, the 12 disciples, Mary and Joseph, none of those people were some great, amazing person in their day. They were just ordinary people, and God showed up in their lives and gave them an assignment. And the third thing is this: God wants to use you, ordinary you. It's a daunting statement when you really begin to think about it. I never set out in my life to be a worship leader. I never set out to be a school principal, a speaker, a pastor, a leader of any kind. I didn't. I thought I would be a school teacher. Then I thought I would be a singer in Branson. And that's kind of where my plan ended. But God's plans are so much better. Yes. Here's what I did do, though, to get where I am today and to reach the point to where I can say that I do all of those things that I said at the beginning. Here's what I did. I said yes. And that's the title, as you can see, of today's sermon. I just said yes. Assignments were set before me, and I said yes. Some of them, a lot of fun and really pleasant. Some of them, not so much. But I said yes. I learned to say yes from parents who said yes. And I think it's important that if you are a parent in here today, you've got to understand something. You can't say no all day long and expect your kids to say yes. I had parents who said yes. They were yes people. My dad was a yes man. Doesn't mean that he never said no, but it does mean that he didn't go into everything expecting to say no. If he was asked to lead worship, he led worship. He wasn't terribly comfortable with that. If he was asked a couple of times that I recall to preach, he did it. He wasn't terribly comfortable with that. But when the assignment was set before him, he said yes. He got out of his comfort zone. Both of my parents did. We were that family that was in the church every time the door was open. I've cleaned many a church toilet. I've poured the juice in all the cups. I've done pretty much everything you can do in a church at some point in time, and I did it before I ever came here. Why? Because I had parents who said yes. It's a big deal for your children to see you say yes. They will never learn to get out of their comfort zone if you won't get out of yours. There was never a time when my parents looked at something that was assigned to them and said, no, that's just too much work. And I've had many opportunities to say yes in my life. When I was 13 years old, actually, my mom said a pretty important yes for me. Because Teresa and I were in high school, and our moms kind of put together this little Christian band with a couple of the other guys in the church. And so we had a teenage Christian band that my mom said yes to me in the beginning, but it was a good yes. And I never really understood the trajectory that would put my life on. But at 13, it was a yes that changed my life. And God did know. But you know what he didn't do? He didn't come to me and say, hey, Mel, here's what's going to happen. You're 13. You're going to say yes to this, and it's going to lead you to the point where when you get older, you're going to have a career in the music business, and that's going to lead you to meet some guy that's going to start a church, and you're going to come to that church, and then you're going to be teaching and leading, and the next thing you know, you're going to lead worship. You're going to become ordained as a pastor. That was never in the plan. God didn't do all of that. He set one assignment in front of me, and he gave me the option to do it or to not do it. And I had the choice to do it with all of my effort or to do it halfway. But God is just looking. You know, it says the eyes of the Lord are searching the earth just to find those people who are obedient. What I hear there is to find the people who are going to say yes to him. That's what I hear. On June 14th of this year, now I know several people in this building have some June 14 as a date that is important and special to you. For me and Rick, it is Flag Day, by the way, which is really cool since we've got this going. But Rick and I went on our very first date on June 14th of 1986. That's a long time ago. 36 years ago, we went on our first date. We went and saw the movie Top Gun, which is ironic because that's what's playing at the movie right now. But when we met, Rick didn't look like he looks now. And it's kind of funny because he actually kind of had long hair, which I'm sure nobody who knows him now could even remotely imagine. But he did, and he feathered it. You know, does anybody remember feathering? Yeah. He feathered that beautiful white blonde hair that he had back then. But he didn't look like he did does now in a lot of ways. Back then, he wore nothing but Levi's 501s, only like the button-up 501s, and a t-shirt. No matter where we were, a t-shirt. We got in a fight or two over t-shirts when after we got married. But but there was something that I was drawn to with him. Now, he didn't look like what I thought my husband would look like. The truth of the matter is, when I met him, I was getting ready to go off to college, and I thought I would just marry some college guy who would just sweep me off my feet and take me to somewhere other than Crane, where I grew up. Well, look at me. I'm not in Crane anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm in Ponce de Leon. Even better. At least Crane has a gas station. Oh, mercy. But I had this picture of my life that was going to be really different than what I saw in Rick. That's not a slam to him. He is absolutely, positively the best thing that ever happened to me in my whole life. And I was drawn to him, and I didn't know why. And it was not one of those situations where God said, okay, here's what's going to happen. But he asked me out on a date, and I said yes. I didn't know he was going to be the guy I was going to marry. I just knew that I was supposed to say yes. And we have been through some very, very difficult times in our lives. But it was the best yes I've ever said. Beyond just being saved, it was the best yes. And I'm glad that God didn't show me the future. Because the truth of the matter is, if he'd shown me all of it, I'd have probably chickened out, because it's been hard. But he gave me that thing inside of me that knew this is the right yes. And I did it. And there are, we all have those kinds of stories. Again, I'm ordinary. There's nothing unique about that story. It's just two people fell, all because two people fell in love. But we all have those stories. And I have more. I have many stories in my life where I just said yes, and it led me to be blessed in a way that I never could have anticipated. And I'm not special. I'm just ordinary. Rick and I started coming to CMC in January of 2006. And we are changed because of it. Now, it's the Lord who's done that change in us. But he's used this ministry. He's used Pastor Ashley and Michelle in a mighty way in our lives. And it has allowed us to find family and community in a way that we had never experienced before. And so we are so happy to be here. But sometime around 11 or 12 years ago, Pastor did a sermon, and I'm guessing on the time frame there, but he did a sermon where he talked about the church. I think it's ironic because he's been speaking on Sundays about the church for the last several weeks. Powerful, powerful words that he's been speaking about the church. But when he did that sermon several years ago, he used the Acts 2 church to show us what church should look like. And he spent a lot of time talking about, during that time frame, about how the church was the center of people's lives. I mean, when they committed themselves to God, the church became the center of their lives. And eating together and fellowshipping together and studying the word together and praying together, when you read about the church in Acts, those are the things they did. And it resonated with Rick and me in a way that we both felt compelled to do more than what we were doing at the time, to make the church the center of our lives. And we had our kids were not going to CMA at the time. We lived 30 minutes from here, and both of us had jobs, and neither one of our jobs took us by the school on the way to our job. It was going to be going kind of way far out of the way for us to be able to get the kids to school there, so we had not brought them to school here because it was going to be so hard. And we heard that message, and we knew. It was not something that we had to even debate with one another. We both heard from the Lord, and we knew that our kids were supposed to be here, and we knew that we were supposed to be doing more to make the church the center of our lives. We wanted to move here, but we really couldn't couldn't get real super close because of Rick's job, and he had an area that he wasn't allowed to get any farther away from his job in Ozark than that. And so we had some real hard boundaries that we had to work with, but we knew that God was telling us that we needed to get our kids over here and that we needed to make the church the center of our lives. See, when you know, I tell parents this all the time, we have all kinds of problems at CMA. I'd be lying to you if I told you we didn't run into all the problems that other schools, we have all kinds of problems at CMA. Our kids had to deal with all kinds of stuff. But what we had there was leadership who were always going to point our kids to Jesus. We have problems in the church. We have things that come up that we have to deal with. But we have leadership that's going to always be pointing us to Jesus. And so when that becomes the central focus, it doesn't mean life doesn't have problems. It just means that that we're going to take every one of those situations and look at it in light of Jesus. And factor him in to the solution every single time. And so we made a decision then. We're doing it. And so we started bringing our kids to church, to school here. And it was very difficult. And it meant I had to get up a lot earlier. And it meant I had to get home later. And it meant a lot of things for our family that were not easy choices that we had to make. But we knew that God had given us an assignment when we heard that message. And we had a choice. We could say yes or we could say no. So we made a choice. And here's what I can tell you. I'm not saying, again, that it's been perfect. But what I can tell you is we were obedient to the Lord and we've been blessed because of it. And I'm going to tell this story. I told it last year. I had an opportunity to say yes to God a few years ago when we were looking for a place to move closer. And we had sold our house, so we're looking for a house or land. Rick and I had always wanted land. We grew up with family that had never owned land. Neither of our parents ever owned any land. They lived just in town, on small lots in town for the most part. And it's just something that we'd always wanted. We just wanted land. We don't know why. We're not farmers. We don't have any good reason other than for Rick and the boys to hunt on it or something like that. But we just wanted land. And so we began to look for places for land, and we just didn't have any success as we were looking. And so we finally found this place in Boaz. And it was a house on 4 or 5 acres. It had a great big shop building on it. It was a beautiful home. It would have been the nicest home that we would have ever lived in at that point in time. It was nothing super fancy, just a really nice brick home with a basement, and it had this big shop building. And the thing that really got the boys was it had a great big concrete basketball court poured on the premises there. And it wasn't like it was there for some other purpose. It literally had 2 basketball goals at each end, and it was a basketball court. And so you can imagine how the Bertolio boys were thinking on that. And so we looked, and we were just like, you know what? We've been trying and trying and trying to find some land, and we just haven't found anything that we can afford. And so we made an offer on this house. So we make the offer, and we go home that night. I'm feeling good because, it was going to be the nicest house I'd ever lived in. And I'm feeling super great about it. And Rick and I go to bed that night, and he says, you know, I've just got this check in my spirit about this offer, and I just don't know. Of course, I was disappointed, but I had a choice. God gave me a yes or no question in my heart and my mind at that moment. Are you going to let your husband lead your family in this moment? Because I don't know if you all, there's a lot of you in here who know me pretty well, and I have to work really hard at being led and not being the one doing the leading. But I heard it just as clear as could be in my heart, and it was, are you going to let your husband do what I have called him to do and lead your family in this moment? Because normally I would have tried to convince him all the reasons why. No, we need this house. This is what we should do. But I just heard it and I knew God is asking me a yes or no question. What's your answer going to be? And so I said, well, babe, you know the shepherd's voice. You won't follow a stranger. So you make your decision, and it'll be the best decision. Not just I'll go along with it, but it will be the best decision that could be made. And so the next morning, we get a call from the realtor, and she said, okay, they have a line of people trying to make offers on this place, but you made the first offer, and so they want to know. Here's the counter. Well, this close to what we'd offered. So in any normal situation, we would have just said, absolutely, we'll take it. But I said, well, let me call Rick, because I know that last night he was really having just some reservations, and so I want to call him. And so he said, Mel, I just don't know yet. I don't know for sure what I ought to do. And I said, well, here's the deal. You know the shepherd's voice. Stranger's voice, you will not follow. I'm going to call her and tell her that you need some time to hear from God. So I did. I called her and I said that. Well, she keeps calling me back over and over and over again. And the first couple of times I would call him and say, you know what, and he'd say, I just still don't know yet. Well, the kids and I are running errands that day. And so they're in the back seat. They're they're younger. They're 6-7 years younger than they are now. And so, So they're back there, and the boys are just like, Mom, we've got to get this house. We've got to get this house. We've got to get this house. And I said, kiddos, here's what we can know. Your dad hears from God, and he's going to hear from God regarding this house. And when he does, it will be the best decision that we could possibly make. And I believe if he says yes to this house, it's because it's the best decision. But if he says no, I believe he's saving us from catastrophe or calamity, or that there's just something, saving us for something better. Yeah. But your dad hears from God. He's going to hear from God on this. And so the realtor continued to call me. And finally, I just told her, I said, listen, you're going to have to, I'm not going to keep calling him. So you can either keep calling me, at which point I'm going to tell you I'm not going to call him, or you can wait for me to call you. I will call you as soon as I hear from him. And so I waited several hours, and finally I called him, and I said, have you got a decision? Because it was getting in the afternoon. And he said, honey, I just don't think it's the one. I just don't think we should. I said, that's all I needed to hear. I'll call her. I'll tell her. It's all good. And so I hang up, and the kids are like, what'd he say? And I said, he said that God's got something better for us. So I call the realtor, and I tell her, and the boys are just bummed big time, you know. And so we continued to run our errands, and a couple hours later, I go to call Rick. I can't get a hold of him. And so I keep trying to call him, and about 3 hours later, I get a hold of him. I said, hey, where are you? I said, I've been trying to call you. And he goes, you won't believe it. I said, what? And he goes, I'm walking around on 20 acres that's about 5 minutes from the church. And he said, but it's in my area. And he said, I just went to Zillow, and it says it's been on there for 2 weeks. But, we were living on Realtor.com and Zillow. And it said it had been on there for 2 weeks, and we'd never seen it. He said, I'm walking around. He said, it's beautiful. He said, I've already called the realtor. And so we got a contract on that 20 acres 4 hours after we said no to this other thing. Now, some of you kind of know our story, and you know we didn't build anything on that 20 acres. We bought a different house. Guess what we bought? We bought a house with 43 acres. So we now own, all we ever wanted was a little bit of land, and now we've got 63 acres and a house and several outbuildings. And God used a moment that that I could have said, come on, baby. You know what the right thing to do is. The right thing to do is what Melanie wants you to do. Come on, baby. But I heard from God, and I knew that he was saying, you've got a choice here. Really good. And I said yes in a moment that I really wanted to say no. But here's what I think is really super amazing, is that every single day that we wake up, we get those moments.
Yeah.
Don't we?
Yeah. Yeah.
We can say yes or we can say no. I think about this morning, and you all don't know this, but with the worship team, I had to call Teresa this morning and say, will you lead today because I'm preaching? She could say yes. She could say no. With me gone and Shelby on the piano, we had a big old hole right here in the center. We needed to move someone into that. Shanda, she likes her spot back there in the back. She could say yes or she could say no. And every day we get people who have the opportunity to say yes or to say no. I want to read something to you out of Psalm 107. It says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. In the NLT, this is how it puts it. Has the Lord redeemed you? Then speak out. Tell others. That's what it says. And then if you jump down to 31 and 32, it says, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the assembly of the people and praise him in the company of the elders. And in the NLT, it puts it this way. Let them exalt him publicly before the congregation. There's a reason that I'm speaking this today. There's a reason Pastor asked me to talk about this today. On June 8th, I believe, a Wednesday night, a week from this coming Wednesday night, we are going to be starting our summer series, and it's called By the Word of Their Testimony. Last year, we went to people who are regular attendees on Wednesday night. We sat together as a leadership team, and we come up with a list of people. Who are some people that we know that are always here on Wednesday night and have a word to share with people, just a testimony about their life? Are these perfect people? No. No. But are they people that God has done a work in their life?
Yes.
Yes. Because each one of us could say that. So we went to them and we said, would you come and give your testimony to the church? And it was really super cool because we got to learn things about people in this body that we didn't know about them. And it glorified and exalted our God in the telling, in the speaking out before the congregation. Well, we're starting that on June 8th. And we have again assembled as a leadership team and come up with a list of people. And here's what's super great. The list is so long that we can't even get to everybody on the list. But I'm telling you this because we're going to be approaching some of you. And we're going to ask you a yes or no question. And you have the option to say yes or to say no. You don't have to be well-spoken. You don't have to have some big story of miraculous intervention. You know, I mean, you don't have to have been brought back to life. You don't have to have, you just need to tell what God has done for you. So we are asking some of you to do this. Say yes. We have a tendency sometimes to get no in our heart. because we don't feel like we are qualified or we don't feel like we're the one that should be up there. Here's what I'm telling you. We've prayed about this and we've sought the Lord about this. And if we're asking you, we believe in you. So we're asking you to say yes. Let me just say this. If you don't get asked, please don't get your feelings hurt. We had a list so long that we literally could not get to everybody over the summer like we want to. Matter of fact, a lot of the ones that we're going to be asking this year are ones that we wanted to ask last year and just could never get to. But don't automatically say no. That's all I'm asking you to do. Would you seek the Lord? Most of the things in my life that have been good have been because of a good yes. Are there good no's? There certainly are. But either way, you need to seek the Lord. You need to ask Him. You know, Hannah is in charge of just finding people to get up and testify to the Lord's goodness at the beginning of every service. Even if you don't get asked to do a Wednesday night service, think about this and pray about this before. Don't give an automatic no. God may want to use you. God may use your shyness to speak to somebody. God may use your fear to speak to somebody. God may use a story that you thought was insignificant to show somebody else that what they're going through matters to Him.
Yeah.
So all I'm asking you to do is pray, seek the Lord, and consider a yes. Because, you know, we get up here and we preach and we tell all kinds of great words. I mean, pastor gets up and gives a great word all the time. Chapman does. I try to. But here's what I can tell you. When I hear someone say, "Can I just tell you what God did for me?"
Awesome.
The power of a testimony. The power of your testimony is important. So, with that being said, here's what I'm telling you. Some of you are going to get the yes or no question asked. Consider saying yes. Consider saying yes. And even if it's not, can we have you on Wednesday night? Can you just rethink? Just rethink those opportunities and assignments that are set in front of you daily. Because the fact of the matter is, most people don't find their gift and call because God speaks to them audibly and says, "One day you're going to do this. So here are all the decisions you need to make to get you there." It's just a simple assignment. You're walking by the nursery and someone says, "Is there any way you can help in the nursery today? We need help." And you go in there and you find your call. Or you stand out in the parking lot and you wave at people and you find that you're pretty good at just visiting with people and making them feel welcome when they get on the campus. Don't look for God to drop something on you. Look for daily assignments that might seem trivial, but they are significant because He's chosen you to do them.
We hope that you have been blessed, encouraged, and motivated by today's message. If you are interested in more messages by Christian Ministries Church, then log on to our website at www.cmchurch.net and click on the podcast link.